Got Bibles, and we want to look at another area in 1 Peter chapter 3. I hope you all are excited about, as I was last week, to come to this area again and some things that we want to share. I pray that, I don't know what's happening with my eyes there, I pray that this again, this area here would be another blessing, tremendous blessing to us, as we want to look at another one of those things as we've been talking about. Here, we talked about it on Sunday night, but I thought I'd just kind of bring it to Wednesday night. I thought it was, again, a good study of the Word of God as we look into 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to cover another portion of this area. And you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, and we kind of get into the message and we introduce this tonight, again, as we're looking forward to a blessing. Let's pick it up in verse number 8, and we'll read down again to verse number 15. Amen. Everyone there? Amen. All right. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil and railing for railing, but counterwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Father, again, we thank you, we praise you for the night. We ask that you would just empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit. Lord, you speak thus, I may speak thus saith the Lord tonight, that it would be a blessing and an encouragement to us in the middle of this week, that we would come into the house of the Lord and out of the cares of this world, that we might hear some truths tonight that would be a blessing and an encouragement to us as we go and face this world with all of the crises that come each and every day in our lives. May you have your willing way tonight, and in a special way, we ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And again tonight, as we endeavor to take another step forward here in the area of talking about, we've been talking about on Sunday night, but we kind of brought it into Wednesday night, as I said, because I just thought it was a good area since we kind of carried over John chapter 3 on Sunday night. I wanted to kind of add some closure to that. But tonight I want to talk to you about another area that I believe that is so necessary and needful as we think about Peter, as we talked about last week, as Peter's writing and he's saying, finally, Peter's getting to some things in the Christian life that I believe that we need to continue to do, but we need to continue to do it. But there's some things that we need to do that's going to help us to continue to do the things that we need to do. And as we've talked about it in the past, and again, I won't try to elaborate on all of it, but we talked about the preparations of the believer that he was talking about here in this area, that we love God, love people, love our enemy, that we love life. We talked about the particulars where he talked about in verse number 8 and 9. All of these things in here are particular things that we need to do in our Christian life when we're dealing with people, because they are going to happen. We talked about it last week. We talked about the promptings that he's given to the believers in this submission that he's talking about here that we ought to have in our lives as Christian. And one of the things that we left off talking about last Wednesday night was the fact that I believe a lot of us as Christians, we tend to do things and we forget, even in our behavior, when we think about it, where he gave us three promptings. He says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And I believe a lot of times in our Christian life, we do things or say things, and our behavior is that we forget that the Lord is looking at everything that we do. not just looking at us with an eye, but the Lord is looking at our hearts as to how we speak, how we react, how we respond to people and the situations that come up in our lives. And we're going to have situations that's going to come up in our lives. And Peter wants us to remember that the Lord sees everything that we do. His eyes are on us. His ears are opening to our prayers. So if we're not doing and responding to crisis or situations in our lives the right way, the Lord won't hear our prayers. And we shouldn't worry about it to the point that we to the point where we let what happens in our lives overrule our behavior in such a way that it disappoints God. When we think about the face of the Lord, I think one of the things that we talked about last week, one of the greatest disappointments in our lives can be when it comes to even our kids and even ourselves, that when we know we fail to realize that the Lord is looking at what we do, how we behave, and how we handle ourselves, that we forget that he sees us, right? And when he sees us, he's disappointed sometimes and a lot of times in the way that we handle ourselves. And I said it last week. I remember many of times, and most of us that are adults, and even some of you as young people that are here today, is sometimes when you do something or do things and your parents, you know that you disappoint your parents. And sometimes the disappointment can be in such a devastating way, you'd rather for you to get the spanking, you'd rather to get the, we call it, when I was growing up, we call it getting a whooping, amen? Y'all don't know nothing about that, but that's what we used to call it. You'd rather them do that than the way that they look at you sometimes, because that is more painful if they just went on and gave you a whooping or gave you a spanking. You'd rather have that than to look at the disappointment that you may have brought to them because of your behavior or the way that you handle things. And think about it from the spiritual perspective. How does God feel when he looks at us or just knowing how we behave and know that it disappointed God? And I believe Peter could be a great writer, a great illustration of that, because you think about what Peter did, how he denied the Lord and how he denied the Lord. I believe that Peter wept bitterly, as the scripture says that he wept bitterly, was because he knew that he disappointed the Lord. And he could still hear him when he told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter wept bitterly. And we're not talking about he just cried a little. I believe he emptied himself because he knew that he had disappointed God. And that was one of the things that we talked about. And the thing that I want to talk to you about tonight, just briefly, not too briefly, but I want to talk to you tonight is about, and it goes on in verse 13. And he says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And in our conduct, we got to be willing to follow the word of God and do what it says that we ought to do. Because when we do that, we allow God to work in our lives. We talked about it last week, how the Lord says, vengeance is mine and I will repay. And we get so caught up sometimes in our lives where we're to be the ones that's trying to resolve the issue, give out the punishment, and try to take those areas and get caught up in that, where we forget that we want to minister to that people, that person. Because the greatest responsibility that we have is to leave those things in God's hand, and God still wants us to be a witness and a testimony to that person that may have harmed you or may hurt you with the words that they say or mistreating you or talking about you. God wants to be the avenger. He wants you to represent him in a special way. So he's telling us who can harm us when we're doing the right thing. And one of the things that I can tell you tonight that we all ought to as Christians is to take great courage when we're doing things for righteousness' sake. But a lot of the times what happened, we're not righteous in our behavior. And we're not righteous in the way that we handle things. And that's, first of all, is displeasing to God. And you can never have a good testimony to somebody when you're not handling the situation in the right way. Because that is the ultimate goal of what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a witness and he wants us to be a testimony. But he says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. In other words, if we're doing it the right way and we're doing it with the right attitude, God is looking at everything that goes on. The Lord is looking at the righteous. He knows that those that are evil, he's going to take care of them. We still got to be living the life where we're going to be a good example. And what I want to talk to you tonight is I want to talk to you about this word here in verse number 15. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And I titled this tonight as to be the area that we're going to talk about is the area here of that of practice. We got to put into practice this submission, and we want to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts so that we can give the right answer. How can we give the right answer in a situation to anybody that asks us, whether it be what we say with our lips or what we do in our action? How are we going to be able to do that? And I want to just give you some thoughts about this word sanctification, how it's used there. Most of us think about it in the sense of sanctify the Lord God. And we're going to give the answer. And we are going to give the answer. But what about giving the answer that God wants to be given? If we want to give the answer that God wants to be given, that word there, better said, might be a good translation of it, is to say sanctify Christ as Lord. Sanctify Christ as Lord in our lives. In other words, when I said it last Sunday or last Wednesday night, think about it this way. Setting the Lord Jesus Christ, let him have the throne of your heart. You with me? Let him sit on the throne of your heart. And that's not an easy task, because we always want to, you know, Lord, you get out the way. I can handle this. I can do that. But think of how think of how great our lives would be if we would let Jesus sit on the throne of our lives. And then we can give an answer to every man that asks the reason of it, because the answer would come from him, because if he's in charge, he gives the answer, it's going to be the right answer. But a lot of times when we're on the throne and ourselves and we're not surrendered to God, the answer that we give is not the one that's pleasing to God. Does that make sense to you? Amen. And I thought about this. I said, because a lot of times we don't do that, but that's what God wants us to do. He said, put him on the throne of your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, means that we turn everything over to him and to live only to please him and glorify him. It means to fear displeasing him rather than fearing what man might do to us. And there are a lot of verses that we could look at here tonight. And one of the ones that comes to mind, let's turn over there to, I said this is a Bible study, so I'm not going to rush to it. Let's turn over to John chapter 4 and verse number 31. John chapter 4 and verse number 31. Look at the answer that Christ gives to his disciples. And he's talking to his disciples because he's talking to them about the fact of what he was called to do and about being really a witness in this area that he's talking about. John chapter 4 and verse 31. We have to pick it up there. In the meanwhile, let me make sure I'm in the right place. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, Jesus is saying to his disciples, I don't need the physical food because I have what I need that's going to replenish me and keep me going. But my will is to do the will and the work of him that sent me. And if we could have that kind of attitude when it comes to letting Jesus be on the throne of our lives, it ought to be our will to do the work of what he has called me to do. And if we're going to do it and it be done the right way, he needs to be on the throne of our lives. And that's the way that was the attitude that he had when he was dealing with his disciples, because they were worried about the physical, but Jesus was worried about the spiritual. And this is the comment that he was making to him. And look, and if we're going to let him be on the throne, we're going to let him be in charge. And we need to get into the word of God. We need to be in prayer. We need to be applying the word of God to our lives. And we need to be applying the word of God to believe it, to fulfill it, to live it. But also when we pray, knowing that he hears our prayers, we ought to be satisfied with the answer that God gives us. And most of us, we spend our time because we want to be on the throne. When it comes to prayer, we want God to answer the prayer according to how we've already lined up everything the way that we want it to be and how we want it to happen. And when it doesn't happen the way that we want it to happen, we're disappointed. and we're disappointed in God. But we ought not be disappointed in God if he answers the prayer, because if he's on the throne, he has a plan for your life that you and I have no idea what it is that God really wants to do in our lives. I think back to the time when I was in Germany, and I was talking to one of my coworkers about that today. I was in Germany for probably 9 years. My commander called me into the office and said, it's time for you to rotate out of here. You done been here forever. I was one of those indefinite D-Rose. Didn't even have a D-Rose to rotate back to the States. But I wanted to go. Now, here's my plans. I wanted to go to Japan. I said, well, sir, if you just give me the opportunity and allow me to wait until the assignments come out, when they're going to come out for that next time the assignments will come out, I want to see if I get orders to go to Japan. That's what I put in for. That's where I wanted to go. That's where I wanted to go. And y'all heard the story before. Well, the Lord had other plans. And my commander, he actually left before the rotational assignments came out. And I could have stayed because he gone now, but I could have stayed. But I prayed to the Lord, God, whatever your will is for my life, whatever place you want us to go, where you want us to be, you show us, and that's where we're gonna go. And guess what we got an assignment to? No? We got a Tucson to why not, why not? Why not, why not? Okay. That ain't kind of what I wanted, amen? But you know what? I'd already made up my mind. If this is where God wants us to go, this is where we're going to go. And Teresa cried, and she cried, and she cried. And about 2 days after all of that crying, we had our exercise. We was out there on a flight line of exercise. I went back into my office, and that was when you get those little green, Shereen, you know what I'm talking about, you get those little green printouts with your assignment on it. It tells you about your assignment, where you're going. And I got the little green one that I was supposed to sign, and he knows about it. I got that little green one where I was supposed to sign going to Why Not. But before I could sign that one to go to Why Not, Why Not, I got another green copy. My orders had changed. Now coming to Tucson, Arizona. And why do I say all of that? Because when it happened, I didn't go and change and not take the assignment, because I told my commander that was what I wanted to do. And I prayed and asked God, whatever he would have for us to do, that's what we would do. And be satisfied with that. And not trying to buck the system and change the system, but give God the opportunity to work. Because most of us, we try to pray to God, and we don't let him be on the throne because we got our idea, preconceived idea as to what we want already. So we don't want God to work on our behalf unless he's working on our behalf to give us what we want and the way that we want it. And let's just bring this home just a little bit more, because if I don't, I'm going to just ride this rabbit trail and I never get to where I want to go tonight. Just think about it. And who better could write about not having God on the throne of his life than Peter? And when I think about Peter, I want to share with you two things. They ain't got no watch on anyway, so I just keep going. Two things I want you to think about. When it comes to submitting to God, we can have failure in submission, or we can have favor in submission. And it's up to us which one that we get. When it comes to failure in submission, Peter is number one. Because Peter, when it comes to, I'm gonna give you this as well. So I'm gonna try to tie it all together here. When it comes to our lives, we're gonna have crises in our lives every day, and the crises are gonna come. And when the crises come, how are we gonna respond to the crisis? Because if we sanctify the Lord God in our heart, let him have the throne of our lives, when the crises come, God gets a chance to handle those crises for us instead of us trying to handle the crisis. Because what happened to Peter when the crisis came? When they were getting ready to take the Lord out and crucify him, what did Peter do? He got off the servant's ear. And then when they took the Lord out of the palace, we could go and read it. It's in Matthew chapter 26 and verses 71 to 75. It's where Peter was. And Peter gets to going out there. And now, instead of identifying or letting the Lord have the throne of his life, when the crisis come, and a lot of us as Christians, when crisis come, we get like Peter. We don't want nobody to know that we're Christian. Because we want to be conformers. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What Peter did, and a lot of us as Christians, we started conforming to the world. And Peter started to conform to the world and got with the crowd, and he hanging out, and they recognized him. Peter said, that ain't me. I don't know the man. But when Christ has come, we can be conformed to the world or we can be transformed. You can do one or the other, because Christ is going to come in your life. But if you sanctify the Lord and let him be on the throne of your life, you won't knuckle to the crisis when they come. And young people, let me say this. You're going to start back to school. And I think about Kamadi, and Brother Hall has already mentioned it, praying for him to be a Daniel where he goes. Because everybody, when you go to a Christian school, everybody that calls themselves, even a Christian college, everybody that say they're Christian ain't a Christian. And if you're not careful, you'll be conformed to a disbelief. You'll be conformed to the world and not be transformed. Peter, when the crisis came in his life, he denied the Lord 3 times and got so bad, he do just like a lot of us as Christians, as we said it Sunday night, and we'll say it again tonight. When it comes to conforming, we'll start to speak like the world. Peter couldn't convince them by his actions, because the way that he looked and the way that he carried himself up till he started to speak, they knew he was one of Jesus. And what Peter started to do was to start cursing, using profanity, and saying all kind of ungodly things that he probably shouldn't have said, because he was a conformer. Because he's trying to identify with the world instead of identifying with Christ. And if you're not sanctifying the Lord, a lot of times as Christians, you'll get comfortable being with worldly people and being around worldly people if you're not careful. And that's what happens to us as Christians when crisis comes. See, we can have failure in submission because we're not submitting to God. We're not following Scripture. We're not behaving the way that God would have us to behave. But if we're going to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and let him be on the throne of our lives, we're not going to be conformers. We're going to be transformers. And I want to share with you quickly, as we're going to go over that, he's already talked about, let's go over to Daniel chapter number 1. And we see Peter, as we try to sum it up here, we see Peter as being a conformer, because Peter was conforming to the world. Peter wanted to identify with the world. In other words, he wanted his praise from the world. He didn't want to identify with Christ, because if he identified with Christ, then he might be one of those 3 that was hung on the cross with him. But you know what? I would rather be hung on the cross with Christ than to be die and go to hell or go to a place or have a testimony that I have no testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what happened to our lives when we become conformers. We don't have a testimony. And we go over to Daniel chapter number 1. And the thing about Daniel's life is such a blessing, because Daniel does what most Christians ought to do. But we don't do that. Think about it. Here he is as a young man or a young man. He's been taken away from all of that he was accustomed to. He was taken from his homeland. He was taken to be a slave. In other words, they changed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed their names because they wanted to change their behavior. They wanted them to become like the gods of their nation that they were brought into as slaves or brought in to serve the king. But you know what? He did something that every one of us as Christians ought to do. Because if you don't settle in your mind today, or settle it already, what you're going to do when crisis comes in your life and you wait till they happen, you'll become a conformer more than you will be a transformer. But Peter, as the scripture says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Peter purposed in his heart that he would not do anything that would defile him. He would not take up the king's meat, because he was not going to be a conformer. And let me say this. When it comes to being a Christian, when it comes to standing for God, and you want to have a good testimony, and you want the favor of God, then you need to submit to God. And what happened? Daniel could have that kind of testimony. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 1. I'm kind of skimming through it, but just kind of give you a background. And verse 4, it says, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. And now it goes on, and now it says, and now amongst these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, of whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach. That's how I like to say it. And Azariah Abednego. Verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel, there's that word again, into favor and tender love and the prince with the prince of the eunuchs. What am I saying here tonight? Daniel had already purposed in his heart what he was not going to do. And let me say this tonight. If you're going to let Jesus sit on the throne of your life, you do what he says that you know that you ought to do according to his will, according to his word, and according to his way, despite the consequences. Amen? Because if you're not willing to do it that way, then he can't work. Because you're not surrendering your will to him. You're still trying to hold on to your own will. You're not sanctifying the Lord. Because when Daniel gave that, Daniel didn't, maybe he said it, but you know where it was? It was in his heart first. Because he purposed it in his heart. Because that's where it needs to be. And if God is going to be in control and be on the throne of your life, he has to be in control of your heart. And when Daniel said that, he already had favor that God had already given him with the eunuch. And he didn't come across and do like most people when you're in a crisis situation. You ain't got to brag about being a Christian. Just be a Christian. With your behavior, with your words, that it match up. So when Daniel went to the eunuch, because he already had favor, just give me 10 days. And he wasn't being boisterous. He wasn't being disrespectful. He wasn't being disobedient. He wasn't rejecting the authority in his life. Daniel had already made up his mind. If he does not do it, I'm not going to bow down. Because he's purpose in his heart. Because when we do that, we give God a chance to work. So when he did that, I believe God was speaking on his behalf because it was already in his heart. So when he brought that to the eunuch's attention, you know what? I might get killed for this, but 10 days and out of 3 years, that's not a whole lot. If you really think about it. And because he asked him the right way, he didn't have an ego trip. He didn't talk about his religion. He didn't beat him up with Moses' law. He didn't beat him up with the Bible, more or less. He did it with a sense of respect. What happens a lot of times to us with Christians, we forget that the overall desire of God in your behavior is that you always have a testimony
and that you ought to win the lost to Jesus Christ. In other words, Daniel was not a conformer. Daniel was used by God to be a transformer. Not only was his life transformed, but now God is using him to transform those that were in leadership because of Daniel's testimony. Because of Daniel's testimony. Because God sat on the throne of his heart. And when you follow Daniel's life, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you follow their lives, when those 10 days were up, they were the best looking, the strongest, the healthiest of all of those that were there before the king. And when he saw them, he saw something different in their lives. He didn't know what, but the eunuch that was over them knew exactly, because when he saw Daniel them, he knew that was something different about them. And I don't know about you, when you know somebody that's got something different than what you have besides worldly things, but a good spirit and living for God, you ought to desire to have that if you don't already have it. And that ought to be every one of our desires. We want to be transformed. We want to transform our life before others, that their lives might be transformed and converted and won to the Lord. Because the eyes of the Lord is over the righteous. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6 and verse 7, I believe that's where it says it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Somebody look it up so I'll make sure I ain't misquoting it. Proverbs 6, and I believe it's verse 7. But that's what it says. When we allow God to work, he's going to make even our enemies to be at peace with us. What is it? I got it written down. It ain't Proverbs 6? I got it. 16:7. I knew I had a 6 in there. Amen? But that's what it says. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, we ought to be transformers, because that's what God does. Transformers gives themselves wholly to the Lord. A heart that loves the Lord, trusts the Lord, and therefore obeys the Lord, and has no difficulty making the right choices and trusting God to take care of the consequences. Because when we don't do it, in spite of the consequences, we're trying to hold on to the throne of our hearts and not let God have control. And we're not sanctifying the Lord God in our hearts. We're still in control. Psalms 119 and 103 says this: how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I believe Daniel had enough training and upbringing that Daniel knew the word of God. And that part that he did have, he knew enough of it to live it out to where God used him to transform the lives of the king and the eunuch that was around him, that God allowed Daniel to have favor with them. And when I say that we're going to live in such a way that we allow God to be in control, and we don't just try to live if the consequences, we think we know what's going to happen. But I like what Daniel and them. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to just tie this up. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 15. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. This is what I like. Let me drop down to verse 16 for time's sake. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, because now he's telling them, or there had been a decree that they were going to say, that when they hear the music and they needed to fall down, as it said in verse number 15, fall down and worship, which I have made well, but if they worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning furnace. Boy, ain't that a crisis? That's a crisis in our lives. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Because he purposed in his heart, they purposed in their heart what they would do. And the thing about it, we don't have no control over the consequences, but we ought to trust God in spite of them. Because if we do, we give God a chance to work. But when we try to be in control, we shut God off from working because we're still trying to be on the throne. But we need to let him be on the throne. But I like what he said. You know what? We know he's able because God is able to deliver us. But if he don't, we still ain't going to bow down. We're not going to be conformed to this world no matter what happens. If it means my life, then that's okay. If we burn in the fiery furnace, we'll burn. But we're not going to bow down. He's able, but if he don't, we ain't going to bow down. We're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to be transformed. And it starts with our mind. It starts with our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if Jesus is on the throne, sanctified, high, and lifted up, then we'll respond to the crisis that come in our lives. He's in charge. We can transform our lives and transform the lives of others because that is the ultimate goal for every Christian, is have such a testimony that other people are drawn to the Lord because of your behavior, because of the way we handle ourselves. That's how you sanctify the Lord. That's what I need in my life tonight. And I believe if we all be honest with ourselves, we need it in our lives too. Because crises are going to come. Won't they, Miss Hamlin? Yeah. And I look at their lives. Here they was with the food. Nanny in the fiery furnace. Daniel's going to face the lion's den. When they got ready to throw him in there, Daniel went. They signed the decree. Daniel just went back to doing what he did. He knew they had signed it. Daniel went back to praying. God's still in control. Even in spite of the consequences, you can throw me in there. The lion's got locked you. He sent an angel. They didn't bring him no harm. Nebuchadnezzar, I think he was more excited than Daniel because he knew what he had did was wrong. But that's the kind of transformation that took place in Daniel's life, that it brought conviction on the king for his own behavior. And he says, oh, great king, oh, that God that Daniel served. And that becomes our God because of Daniel's testimony. You can be conformers or you can be transformers. What are you going to be tonight? You can have favor in submission or you can have failure in submission. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about the wrong that I've done, when it comes to disappointing God, I'd much rather to be in the hands of a loving God than be in hands of the enemy, because they won't give you no justice. God will give you justice. But you got to be willing, in spite of the consequences, you got to be willing to live for God. And settle in your heart, whichever way that God decides to do it, I'm going to be all right with it, because I know he has what's best for me. Daniel, when he committed in chapter 1, he was the same person in chapter number 6. And it goes on in verse 10. And verse 10, turn over there, and I'm going to close. Y'all say, Pastor, what, you can't? No, it's just good that I believe we need to hear it tonight. Look at chapter 10 of Daniel, chapter 10 and verse number 11. And he said unto thee, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understood the words that I spake unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he has spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. God was speaking to him. And verse 10 said, and he touched him. And you know what? There's only one person whom the Lord says that is greatly beloved. He said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, because he was God's beloved son. Daniel had that kind of a reputation because he committed to the Lord. He
He sanctified the Lord God in his heart. And that's the testimony that he had when it comes to the end of this, the book of Daniel. He was well beloved of his heavenly Father. I pray that God would say that about you. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, I just praise you tonight, Lord, for an opportunity to just share your word. And God, as it's come forth tonight, it may have been somewhat quickly done, but I pray tonight that it has been a blessing to those that have been here tonight. It blessed my heart to see how I need you to be on the throne of my life. I need to sanctify you, Lord, and let you be in control. Because when you're in control, we have favor. And I want the favor of God in my life. I don't want the failures of life. And I fail many days. And there may be some other failures along the way. But I pray that each one of us, that when we do fail, and need to be reminded to myself tonight, that we can ask for forgiveness and get back to letting you be in control. Father, I pray that when crisis come, that we would allow you to be on the throne of our hearts, that you might give the answer to every man that asketh of the reason of the hope that's within us when we let you be in control. Daniel is a great example of favor. Peter is an example of failure, but how you used him in the days to come. And may all of us, because we fail you in some form or fashion, we can still be used of you, because you are the God of second chances. We're going to ask us just to play one quick hymn of invitation. Maybe God has spoken in your heart. If you want to come and kneel at the altar tonight, you may do that however you see fit. I'm going to play a hymn for us tonight. You know, the greatest position of the throne that God wants to be in, you can't be in control if you don't know him as personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, that's the throne that needs to be given up first of all, to surrender. And say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And to believe that Christ died for your sin, he'll save you. Maybe you're here tonight as a Christian and you haven't been submitting to the Lord's will in your life. And when a crisis comes, we don't handle them the way that we ought to. And I raise my hand to that as well tonight. And God, how I pray that you will be in control of my life. Not just mine, but all that are here tonight, that have heard this message tonight. May you continue to bless, bring our pastor and his family back home safely. And we look forward to a blessed time of going out, passing out flyers on Saturday. Lord, if you tarry, you're coming. We look forward to being in your house on Sunday, having our friends and neighbors come out. May it be a joyous time in the Word of God and in the house of God. May you be with us now as we leave this place tonight. Give us safety as we travel. Bring us back at the appointed times. Work in our hearts, Lord. Work in our lives. Use us tomorrow and the days ahead in a special way. May we be transformed and not conformed to this world. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.